Thank you for joining me again today, and we begin by continuing our discussion on the self-existent nature of God. God has the ground of his existence within himself, and as we saw last week, because God self-exists, nothing and no one created him, God takes for himself the name I Am. It's three letters and two words, I Am. We got this from the exchange between God and Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. Exodus 3 verse 14 reads this way, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And God said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The name of God is I Am. It's three letters and two words, and this speaks of the essence of the being who is the eternal and everlasting God. Now in the Hebrew, the language of the Jewish people and the language of the Old Testament, I Am is translated as Yahweh. In Hebrew, this is called a tetragrammaton, which simply means that four Hebrew consonants, when transliterated into English, come out as YHWH. And when we sound that out, we get Yahweh. This is God's name for himself, and it's used over 6,800 times in the Bible. And here's what else you need to know about how this name appears in the Bible. It reads as Lord. And it does so because the Jewish people, after the Babylonian exile that we read about in the Old Testament, they treated the name Yahweh with such reverence and respect that they stopped saying the name altogether. And so in its place, they used the pronunciation Adonai, or we can say, as the English text does, Lord. Furthermore, the name Jehovah comes out of Exodus 3, verse 14, and I Am, so that when we talk about God's name as Jehovah, that also takes us right back to this verse. And what does I Am, Yahweh, Adonai, Jehovah mean? It means that God is. It means that God is self-existent. His being is within himself. God always was. God always is. God always will be. God is past, God is present, and God is future. The theologian Augustine put it this way, I'm quoting Augustine now, God is our supreme essence. Nothing better can exist or can be thought. God, above whom there is nothing, outside of whom there is nothing, apart from whom there is nothing. Supreme life, supreme truth, supreme blessedness, supreme wisdom, supreme essence. That's Augustine on the self-existent God, and he's right. God is self-existent. And when we left off last time, I took you into the New Testament's Gospel of John, and I read to you 21 times that the Lord Jesus refers to himself as I Am. What is Jesus doing? He's giving himself the name of God. And why is Jesus calling himself I Am? He has this name because Jesus is God. And there are two different ways that Jesus uses I Am. One is, he simply states, I Am. And the other way is to add a metaphor that is descriptive of the power of Jesus to save people, like us, from our sins. So what I want to do is to take these I Am statements and show you how God is self-existent in the person of his son Jesus Christ. All of this will be to reinforce to you God's self-existence. And this study achieves another purpose. I want to prove the following to you from the life of Christ. There is nothing you need that God does not have within himself to give to you. Let me say that again. There is nothing you need that God does not have within himself to give to you. Or I can put it to you this way. God is sufficient to meet your needs. God is sufficient to meet your needs. Come along with me this week and you will see this in the Word of God. And to begin with, let's look at the times that Jesus simply yet profoundly says, I am. And the first one is in John chapter 4 and verse 26. In this famous chapter, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at a drinking well and they have a conversation that is life-changing, to say the least for the woman. Now, I do not have time today to go through the whole true story. You can read that on your own. Just read all of John chapter 4. But in the exchange, they get to talk about the Messiah, the anointed one that the Samaritan people knew would be coming. Now, the Samaritans are not Jews. In fact, they had a sharp dislike of the Jews, and the Jews detested them. But the Samaritan people still anticipated the coming Messiah. If you go back to the Old Testament, you will find the Samaritans intermarried with Jewish people and adopted some, certainly not all, of the Jewish religious practices. There was a lot of syncretism there. By syncretism, I mean the merging, the amalgamation of different beliefs and practices concerning who God is and how he was to be worshipped. Anyway, when we get to John 4, this Samaritan woman is aware that the Jewish Messiah will come. In fact, look what she says to Jesus in verse 25. This is John chapter 4 and verse 25. The woman said to Jesus, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." And so how stunning must it have been when Jesus replied immediately, verse 26, "I who speak to you am he." Wow. The very man standing there speaking to her this whole time is the Messiah. That is the Christ. As I said, this is life-changing for the woman, and the whole true story is well worth your read. But what's Jesus really saying? He's telling the woman, "I am God." And you've got to look closely at John 4 and verse 26 in your Bible when you get a chance, because I guarantee your Bible says what mine does, unless you read the original Greek text. As I have just read to you, verse 26 says, "I who speak to you am he." He. But in the original language, he is not there. It simply reads, quoting Jesus, "I who speak to you am." I who speak to you am. That is what Jesus actually said. And this is profound, because when I read to you, "I who speak to you am," doesn't that sound very similar to what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14? "I am"? Yes, it does. God said to Moses, "I am." And Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "I who speak to you am." Jesus is God. When you meet Jesus, you meet God. That's what happened to this woman. Furthermore, because Jesus is God, he can say of himself, "I who speak to you am." And am, A-M, means self-existent. Again, quoting God, "I am who I am." It's enough to say about Jesus that he exists. He has always existed, past. He does exist, present. And he will always exist, future. Here in John 4, he exists in the present to this woman. She's standing face to face with the Messiah. She is standing face to face with the Son of God, God in human flesh, and Jesus says of himself what God says of himself: "I am." And the same is true as we proceed through John. So let's go next to chapter 8 and verse 24. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And again, when you get to your Bible, notice how the word "he" will be italicized. That's because he is not in the original Greek text. So John 8 verse 24 should read, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." This is another of Jesus' "I am" statements, and it's as clear as a blue, cloudless sky that Jesus means to say, "I am God." That is definitely how the Jews, listening to Jesus, would have taken this statement. This truth is directed to the unbelieving Jew, but it certainly applies to anyone who does not believe that Jesus is God, and therefore that only Jesus can save a person from his or her sins. The message is clear. Anyone who denies that Jesus is Savior and then dies, that person leaves this life with sin that is not forgiven. And the Bible is very clear. Anyone who dies without their sins being forgiven by Christ is then sentenced by the just judge Jesus to an eternal and never-ending death in what the Bible calls hell. That is, the only way to go to heaven when we die is if we accept that Jesus is I am. Jesus is God in human flesh. He's our Messiah too. And by putting our faith alone in him alone, we receive eternal life in heaven by the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus will not ever condemn, sentence, forgiven sinners to hell. Absolutely not. Any person with genuine faith in Christ is saved, rescued, and delivered from sin, and does not die in our sins because Jesus has taken away our sin. Our sins were put on him at the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins. Instead, we die in the arms of Christ Jesus, and we immediately enter his eternal presence. What a promise! What hope for the believer in Jesus Christ! We have a sure hope. John chapter 8 and verse 24 must be highlighted in your Bible. I encourage you to memorize it. This is one of Jesus' most important statements. You will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Do you believe in Jesus today? If not, he urges you to believe in him now. Please do not delay. Do not leave faith in Christ for later. What we are doing is going through the I am statements of Jesus. There are many. And so we're breaking these into two kinds of I am statements. The first are the times Jesus says only, I am. And then within those occurrences, I'm showing you how the original statement by Jesus was, I am, and not, I am he. So far, we have looked at two, John chapter 4 and verse 25, and John chapter 8 and verse 24. And next time, we will look at a few others. And we do all of this as part of our look into the self-existent God. God's name is I Am. He exists, and everything God uses to exist is found within himself. And the same is true of Jesus Christ. So grab your Bible and come on back tomorrow, for God is...